Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. My guest is one of the most influential figures in the EU institutions. Manfred Weber is the boss of the centre-right European People's Party, the largest and oldest group in the European Parliament. He's not only a veteran of this assembly, he was first elected to this place in 2004, but also of Bavarian politics in his native Germany, where he remains an important player in the Christian Social Union, or CSU. Manfred Weber, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for the invitation.
You have highlighted the gains recently made by conservative parties in Finland and Bulgaria, saying that this shows people value centre-right leadership. Does that make you confident about your chances in the European elections?
Absolutely. We see an absolute success on our national friends, our national pillars of the EPP. For example, in the north of Europe, you mentioned this, we have now finished Finland, we have Sweden, we have in Ireland, and also two Baltic countries, an EPP government, so centre-right government. And also with the success of Kyriakos Mitsotakis in Greece now, we see that this willingness of strengthening centre-right is coming back. What we are offering is a serious bridge-building aspect to bring things together, be not extreme on one or the other side, but to unify. And in this moment of uncertainty, with war, with economic challenges, I think our offer really is attractive for the voters.
And on the question of unifying different factions, there's been a lot of speculation about a possible tie-up between the European People's Party and the European Conservatives and Reformists. I was talking to one ECR MEP just this morning about that. What are your feelings about that? Is it the right way forward to do a kind of an alliance of some sort there?
Well, we have a clear red line to the extreme part of this political part. And that means everybody who is a partner for EPP must be pro-European, must be pro-Ukraine, and must be pro-rule of law. That are the three basic criteria for us. That is excluding any kind of cooperation with Le Pen. That is excluding any kind of cooperation with AfD in Germany.
With
PiS in Poland, for example. Mm. And those who are respecting these three criteria are possible partners. Mm. We have already in Czech Republic a joint government. We have in Sweden a government together. In Finnish politics, we will get one. In Spain, let's see. I count that we can win alone. We have an absolute majority for Partido Popular in Spain. So we are winning, but our principles are our red line. To not work together with right extremists is crystal clear.
Would you like to be the Spitzenkandidat for your party?
I'm the leading person in the EPP family. I have to organize now the process to build up a program for the future and to also present the personalities to do so. And that is what I will do in the next years. But what is the starting point of everything is that we must do politics with listening and showing respect, because a lot of people are afraid about what is in front of us, about all our changes due to climate change, all the things on globalization, all the migration, let's be honest. People are concerned about identity, about their way of life. And that's why we must be the guardian of today's way of life.
We will talk about the actual agenda. Just one other question I have related to the political positioning around the European elections. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, let's say that there have been some signals from her office recently that she might want to stay on in that job. How do you feel about that? And are you concerned about perhaps missing out on that job for a second time?
Well, if EPP is becoming again the biggest party in Europe, then we have a democratic right to ask for the most important post, and that is a Commission President. That's why we will do our best to keep this post in our in political family, to get a mandate from the people for doing so. That's the basic thing of democracy.
So you're still interested in principle in taking on that job if the situation came up?
Well, on Ursula von der Leyen, we first have to wait about her commitment. She didn't show up, yeah. She didn't say anything in the last weeks about her idea for the future. I think that's a matter of respect, the respect that we first wait about her positioning.
You mentioned some of the big issues, so Ukraine, Russia and so forth. You were an instrumental figure here in the Parliament in fast-tracking the so-called ASAP Act, the Act in Support of Ammunition Production for Ukraine a few weeks ago. What is your assessment now of the actual rollout of this programme?
Well, it's good that we are doing this, but we are always too late and it's always too little what we are doing. And that is our problem also in these aspects. So that's why we are fully committed. My party was insisting in a quick procedure on ratifying the legislative base for creating this ammunition production. But again, from our point of view, it's too little and too late.
On the energy transition, one of the things that you mentioned in your joint op-ed in Die Welt with the CDU's Friedrich Merz, which has been interpreted as something like an election manifesto, you say you're proud of the EU's climate leadership around the world, but that the energy transition has to happen with citizens and with businesses, not against them. So are you saying that people are being left out of this transition, they're not being taken along?
The ambitions are clear. We want to be the first continent who is climate neutral. And that is a great achievement that all parties and all countries agree on this principle. Let's be proud about this. The question is about how to do it. And there I tell you, I'm not happy about the idea to forbid the combustion engine for our cars, for example. Why should a politician regulate a technology? Or why is the European majority going against nuclear as an option for producing electricity? If France wants to do so, it is climate neutral, then let's do it. So that's why we have to do it in a pragmatic way and not in an ideologically driven way. And what I see from the Greens, also in the traffic light coalition in Germany, from the Greens, that they are ideologically driven doing politics.
And that on is that point, problem. As you know, there's been this fight in the last few days in the German coalition about electrical heat pumps. I'm guessing you would argue that the Greens are, for ideological reasons, insisting on phasing out the petroleum-powered heating. And that's the kind of thing you're against, I'm guessing.
We have to tell people the truth. In the next years, oil and gas will become very, very expensive. So the CO2 price will increase the costs. So people must look for alternatives which are not producing CO2. That is our coming game. But again, I'm not a politician who is regulating the technology. I'm not telling you what you have to use in your house. It's your decision to do so. We are living in a free society. And that is, again, ideological approach versus a pragmatic approach. And let's be ambitious, but pragmatic.
You've been one of the most outspoken voices in the EU when it comes to China and Taiwan. You were very critical of President Macron's comments earlier this year. You've said China wants to be a global superpower and will do so at Europe's expense. And also a phrase which I think is quite noteworthy, the people of Taiwan should decide their future, not Beijing. What would it take for the EU to speak with one voice on this issue?
Well, it's a tragedy that we don't speak with one voice. And you mentioned it. The trip from Ursula von der Leyen and Emmanuel Macron to Beijing was, at the end of this trip, a diplomatic disaster. The interview of Emmanuel Macron showed the European dispute, showed the European uncertainty about this. To say publicly that Taiwan is not an European issue, sorry, 90% of all semiconductors are coming from Taiwan. Also, from an economic point of view, it's a highly important what is happening in Taiwan. And also to underline that we need more distance to our American friends. So don't get me wrong, I want to have a strong European positioning. But sorry, without the Americans, we will not win the fight for democracy and freedom. That's a reality.
So
that's
not,
why right. We need a common approach on European level and expect from the June Council in a few weeks in front of us that the European leaders agree on one China policy. We cannot continue like this, that we have a split situation on our China approach. We need common understanding to talk then with our Americans.
So it's not the right time to get economically closer to China to start reviving investment deals.
The other way around. The opposite is the case. We have to de-link our dependency towards China, and we have to look for alternatives. Look to Mercosur, for example, the trade agreement with South America. Look to Japan, look to India, look to the democracies in the world, to CETA and so on, with Canadian trade agreements. We need a free trade zone of democracies of this world. That is what we have to look for. And then we can be less depending from China.
Speaking of the June EU Council, you've said previously that there had been some progress on migration issues earlier in the year, but then the last EU Council didn't deliver the necessary next steps. What are you expecting from the EU Council on this migration issue? And are you expecting a crisis this summer, given the way things are going now?
We are obviously sleepwalking in another migration crisis. Numbers are going up from Italy, also through the Balkan route. And that's why I expect from our leaders to act, not only to speak, but to act. And that means to solve the migration thing from a legislative point of view. We have now a good base. There is a readiness. There is a momentum to close this file. And before the European elections, we have to close the file. And the principles are clear, strong on the external border, that we have to decide on the external border. Is a chance that somebody stays, or is there no chance that somebody stays? Then he must immediately leave the European Union. And if someone has the right to stay, then he must be solidarity inside of the European Union to do this together.
But when you say there seems to be consensus, there are countries and political forces pushing back on the idea of, for example, spending EU money to build border infrastructure. So I'm not sure there is really consensus yet, is there, on those key issues of border security?
Well, I'm in favor of protecting our borders. And I think the overwhelming majority of our citizens asks us to make sure that you know who is arriving on European soil. That's also a security question about terrorism and so on. To make sure that we know who is arriving here and whether we make a check on the border, yes or no. And imagine you have in this Finnish-Russian border 1,300 kilometers. Do you really think that you can protect that border without technical infrastructure, without drones, without a video system, or without offensive needed? I don't see an alternative to this. That's simply to be realistic, to be honest in this debate. And the left, who is opposing to any kind of offense, I must ask them, why are you having then a fence in Ceuta and Melilla, where the socialists are governing in Spain? They have their fences building up. That's why it is not an honest discussion. I say, nobody wants to have a fence, but if it is necessary, we have to do it to protect our border.
So just a final follow-up on that. You're confident that this EU migration and asylum pact will be agreed and that it will be meaningful by the time that the European elections happen?
We have a good chance to do so. And the precondition was already that this European Parliament agreed on a mandate for the negotiations. So the left and the right politicians already concluded, brought things together, found a compromise. So let's do it now. People expect from us solutions and not party political fights.
We'll end it there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Manfred Weber, head of the European People's Party. Do stay with us. I'll be back in part two for a debate with a panel of MEPs.